the path to peace. This morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to focus on verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And so we begin with a discussion on the word of God. This first step on the path to peace is the word of God. I want you to understand something, friend. Hear me and hear me well. You will never know the rest that God intends for you if the word of God is not the focus of your life.
Right.
You'll never know it. But here's what we do. And by the way, not all of these things are bad. But remember, good is the enemy of great. It's the enemy of best. And what we're shooting for here is we want God's best, do we not?
Amen.
Yes, we do. We want God's best. But I know people, and they're focused their life, they are focused on their family. Nothing means more to me than my family. That sounds great until you think, but wait a minute, that's idolatry. God and His Word should be more, right?
Right.
We get focused on our family. We get focused on our friends. We get focused on our relationships. We get focused on our hobbies. We get focused on our pastimes and on our experiences and on our culture and our own wisdom and how we've experienced things and how we like things. And we get focused on all of that, and the Word of God takes a back seat or a distant 12th seat to something that's more important to us than Him. If that's the case, friend, I want you to know something. You will never, never have rest and peace. You'll never make it if you don't have the Word of God as the central focus of your life. It must determine everything that you do and how you do it and why you do it. It is not just our final authority. It is our only authority. And by the way, you're going to see that the next one is Jesus. And you say, why isn't Jesus first? I'll tell you why. Because you can't know Jesus without knowing His Word. God gave us this book that we might know Jesus. And there's a whole lot of people out there that claim to know Jesus. I'm a Jesus follower. I'm a Jesus fan. Jesus is who I like. And I'm all about Jesus. But they never crack open a Bible. They never read the Word of God. That if that's the case, they don't know Jesus. Because this is where you learn of Jesus. I'm talking about the Word of God, this first step on the path of peace. Number one, I want you to see that it's alive. The devil's the prince and the power of the air, and he's right here in between these two things. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get out of here. It's alive. The Word of God is quick. And it means fast. It means it's alive. It's quick. This book's alive, y'all. It's living. So let's do an analogy here. Let's say that Brother Davies here speaks to me, and I don't answer him. He speaks clearly, audibly, at a proper volume, in English. And I don't answer him. I just go on about my business. There's only two reasons. Either I was not close enough to him to hear him. There was some kind of obstruction, maybe. Or I'm willfully ignoring him. That's it. If somebody alive speaks to you and you don't respond, it's either because there's something in the way or you're willfully ignoring them. This book's alive. And God uses this book to speak to us. And if we don't respond to the Word of God, there's only two reasons. Either there's something in the way, we're not close enough, or we're choosing to ignore it. Friend, you may be here today and you may be lost. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking about being a Baptist. I'm not talking about being in the baptismal pool. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being a member of a denomination. I'm saying there's never been a time that you've received Christ as your Savior. You're lost and undone and on your way to hell. I want you to know something. The Word of God clearly teaches if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him is not condemned. Whosoever believeth not is condemned already. The Bible tells you your default setting is lost and on your way to hell. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, that's exactly where you're headed. I've just given you the truth from the Word of God. Now here's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes that and speaks to you. And if you're lost today and you don't get saved, it is either because you have put something between you and God that does not allow you to hear His Word, or you're just flat out ignoring it. There are Christians in every church in America that will hear the Word of God today, and God will direct them and lead them and want them to do something, and they'll walk out of here unchanged for one reason. They have ignored the clear speaking of the Holy Spirit through His Word.
Right.
Or they've allowed something into their lives that keeps them from hearing God like they used to. I want you to know this book is alive, and without it, you will never know rest. You will never know peace. Number two. It's active. You understand, something can be alive without being active. Some days I'm alive, but not active. Tree's alive, not very active. Slugs are alive, not very active. Some teenagers are alive, not very active. I want you to know something. Not only is the Word of God alive, it's active. Notice what it says. It says He's quick and powerful. The word powerful comes from the same Greek word from which we get our English word energy. Energes. Energy. Not only is the Word of God alive, it's active. It is energized, and it means to energize you and me. There's two things that the Word of God wants to accomplish in our lives. First of all, it wants to give us the dynamic boost that we need. Have you ever known you need to do right and just didn't feel like you had it in you to do it? The Word of God gives you that, that energy. It energizes you. It wakes you up. It gets that throttle going up a little bit. It gives you the dynamic boost that you need. But it also gives us our directional bearings. See, not only will God give you the energy, He will use it to then direct you to where to put that energy. Right now, Asher, at what, 16 months, I guess he is. 16 months, he's got all kinds of energy. And sometimes that energy takes the form of push this over, grab this, all kinds of energy. And I just stand there. Son. Now, honestly, is that energy doing anybody any good? No, not really. But I've known Christians over the years. They get all kinds of energy. But they don't let the Word of God direct them with that energy. Let me tell you what happens. It becomes like a toddler, Christian toddlers. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They're knocking stuff over. And oh, blah, blah, blah. It's not doing anybody any good. It needs to be directed. And the Word of God is what does that. It energizes us, but it also directs us. And let me tell you something. If you expend all kinds of energy, but no direction, that is the exact opposite of rest. Have you ever known Christians? Have you ever been a Christian that you felt like you were busy and busy and busy and busy and nothing came of it? And at the end of the day, you're just like... See, Christians, it's not about how busy we are. It's about how obedient we are. Without God's Word, you'll never know the rest that comes after a day of worthwhile activity. You ever been there? You ever had a project that, I mean, it wore you out, but man, at the end of it, look at that. That's how I feel when I mow grass. I mow the grass, ride to the riding lawnmower, and then I have to make the decision. Is the trim work really worth it? Some weeks it isn't, some weeks it is. But on the weeks that it is, and I sit down and I look at my lines, I look at my bushes, I look at everything, and I'm like, yeah. There's a rest that comes from that that's far better than the rest that you get after you've done nothing or after you've just expended energy for no real purpose. See, the Word of God is alive and it's active. And then finally, it's astute. What does astute mean? Insightful. Why didn't you put insightful? Because it doesn't start with A. I went to the Jim Shetler School of Alliteration. I have to keep to my training. It's astute. We're still in verse 12. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It's astute. God's Word knows you better than you do. And God's Word will counsel you better than anyone can. I'm happy to sit down with anybody and talk about anything you want to talk about, but let me tell you something. My counsel will be absolutely worthless to you if you're not willing to listen to the counsel of the Word of God. That's the only thing that really gets it done. Can I tell you, first of all, it dissects. Did you ever dissect anything in high school? You've got two kinds of kids. None of them are indifferent to it. They're either excited or they're mortified. And so you pull out that bag from Outer High with that little fetal pig in it or something, and you open that thing up, and some are like, yeah! And some are passed out on the floor. But when you dissect, here's what you do. You're meaning to cut it open so you can see what's inside. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the Word of God does to us. Amen. It cuts us open. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and it just cuts you open? Whew. Ow. But I want you to notice this. It says it's two-edged. It can go in any direction. By the way, there's an application for me too. The Word of God, as I swing the Word of God at you, there's still an edge pointing at me too. I can't tell you how many times I've preached messages and whether none of you needed it, I don't know, but I needed it. Now here's what's important. It skillfully divides our triune being. Now what in the world am I talking about? I believe that humans are triune beings. I know people that argue with me about this. It's not worth arguing, but I think it's important. For me, it is. God's triune, is He not? Father, Son, and Spirit, right? Have you thought of what other things in life are triune? How about space? Length, width, height? It's triune. How about time? Past, present, future? Matter? Solid, liquid, gas? What about plasma? I ain't worried about plasma. You see how many things are in threes in life? Can I tell you, mankind's a three too. Body, soul, and spirit. Now there are some people that say soul and spirit are the same thing. They are not. In fact, in this passage, we see a distinction made. Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, I do want to remind you that they are different, but it appears as though only the Word of God can do that dividing. I can't determine in your mind and your heart what's in your mind and what's in your heart. Does that make sense? Only God and His Spirit can do that. But there is a difference. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says it again, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So twice we have a distinction made there. Why does that matter? Here's why it matters. Oh, and by the way, it deals with the flesh too, the joints and marrow. Now, why does it matter? Andy, why are you wasting time on this? I'm not wasting time. Here's why it matters. You can't be properly discerned if you've not first been properly divided. And if our counsel through the Word of God is dealing with your soul when it should be dealing with your spirit, then we're not going to get anything done. And what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Your soul is your mind and your will. If you're alive, you have a soul. Okay? Man, I'm about to bust some stuff up in here. By that definition, that old dog at home has a soul. Does he have a mind? Yeah. Does he have a will? Mine does. You see, what we're interested in is not just the soul. We're interested in the spirit. And the spirit is that part of us that can respond to God. God speaks to the spirit. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you have a spirit, but it's dead. And it needs to be quickened. It needs to be made alive. So if you've got a problem with your mind, then we need to counsel with the Word of God towards the mind. If we've got a problem with your body, and by the way, how many of you know that prolonged physical difficulty can affect your soul and it can affect your spirit? You know, somebody that's recovering from surgery. I remember a lady years ago, and y'all wouldn't know who I'm talking about, but years ago, she had a major surgery, and she went into the depths of depression, and she felt like she had a spiritual problem. And I tried to explain to her, I don't think it's a spiritual problem. I think you have a physical problem that's found its way into your soul and into your spirit. I'm telling you, if you'll let God have His way in your life, and you let yourself have some time to heal, you'll feel better. And she did. We're triune beings, and it all affects. By the way, if your spirit isn't what it ought to be, it'll make you sick too. Ask David about that. You see, it dissects. The Word of God properly dissects us and opens up what needs to be addressed, and then it discerns. Back to verse 12. It says, "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." According to these verses, it discerns two things. Number one, it discerns mindset. Look what it says. It says in verse 12, is a discerner of the thoughts. It knows where your mind is. What's the Bible say? That as that man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is who you are. And the Bible knows who you are. So when you read the Word of God, if you're not saved, you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit points to something about conviction and says, that's you. He's on good authority. He knows who you are. He knows your mindset. But here's the scariest one to me. Not only does He know our mindset, He knows our motives. Because He doesn't just say our thoughts, what does He say? And what? Intents. So you can hide your intents from me. You can hide your intents from your neighbor. You can hide your motives from the person down the pew. You can hide your motives maybe even from your spouse and your kids. But you cannot hide your motives from God. And God knows if you're doing right or wrong, and He knows why you're doing it. It takes us back to Psalm 139. Thou hast searched me and known me. The Word of God is alive. It's active. It's astute. It's astute in that it dissects and it discerns, and that all leads us to this right here. If there's a so what, here's the so what. You ready? Because it can do all this, it dissects, it discerns, which makes it able to diagnose. I just don't know what's wrong with me, preacher. I may not know what's wrong with you, but I know where to find it. This book will diagnose you. Here's the problem, y'all. Oh, hear me on this now. We'll take our diagnosis from people. We'll take our diagnosis from the AMA, American Medical Association. We'll take our diagnosis from the latest thing. Oh, let's get it closer. We'll take our diagnosis from the popular Christian writer who writes about spiritual things. Sometimes we have a really hard time taking our diagnosis from the only book that knows. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What is James saying to us? This book is a mirror. And if you'll look at this book, and let God really speak to your heart, you will see yourself exactly as you are. It will diagnose you. Friend, I'm not against Christian books, but they're no substitute for the book. It's fine to get words of encouragement from other people. It's fine to have little things that you keep in your mind and heart that encourage you throughout the day. That's okay. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us have problems. Every one of us. Every one of us have things in our lives that need to be fixed. Every one of us. And if we're going to get these things fixed and we're going to get help and ultimately find the rest that we so desperately need, we will only find it in this book. Because it's alive. It's active. It's astute. It's the Word of God. Now, this close up, pack up, everything else. Well, Andy, I just want to love Jesus. Yeah. Me too. I just want to love Jesus. Well, I want you to know something. You can't know Him without this book. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I want you to know something. The faith that you need to be saved, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can't separate it. Can't separate it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'm not asking you to fill out a card. I'm not asking you to let me take my picture with you so I can put it on Facebook and show all my preacher friends that I did a good job today. I hate that stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. I just think some people just need to knock it off. I'm concerned for your soul. And without Christ, if you die, you'll go to hell for all eternity. And I don't want that for you. More than that, God doesn't want that for you. So what do I do? Hear His word and believe. That's what you do. Today. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. Now. Maybe you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But boy, you don't spend a lot of time in the book. I just love Jesus, and I'm just going to love Jesus, and I'm not going to get all hung up on it. Let me remind you what Jesus said Himself. If you love me, keep my commandments. Can I tell you something? You can't know Him without this book. You can't love Him without this book. You can't serve Him without this book. So my question to you is this. Are you prepared to focus entirely on this book? To live according to this book? Because if you don't, you will never take the first step to having the rest you so desperately need. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, if you would come. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's just between you and God. I won't embarrass you. I won't pull you aside or anything like that. I want to pray for you personally and privately. I wonder if there'd be somebody today by an uplifted hand.